Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, we have been speaking about the force of faith, and I want to continue in that line again today by reading from the book of John chapter 7. From verse 37, Jesus said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Now, we have been talking about the force of faith, and I've been emphasizing the fact that faith is a force. We saw all of this by reading from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, where he says that write the vision and make it plain, that he might run that reads it. He said, "But as for the proud, his soul is not right within him, but the just shall live by his faith." And I established the meaning of the word to live by faith, that it does not mean to be walking by faith, though a walk of faith is what we have been called to as believers. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But what he was saying here is that the righteous will acquire life by his faith. That is, as opposed to dying, a man will live. That is, where somebody was supposed to die, this person is alive and he is well. And the Bible calls that one living by faith. Now, we have established many things along this line. I said that a man of faith is not a man who is focused on himself alone, but he understands that through him, he is supposed to be a channel of blessing to other people. Just like we read from the book of John chapter 7 here, that Jesus said, if a man has this faith, if a woman takes hold on of me by faith, he said that from inside him will flow rivers of living water. We examined that from the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, in which we saw that that water goes to where things were dead and they begin to live. That a man gets up and goes into power generation in the country, and the power becomes constant. And the man goes out and exercises himself in the ministry of works, and we discover that he leaves his spirit there that makes sure that our drainage works all the time and we have road all the time. And we study briefly from Isaiah chapter 49, in which God said, "The plan I have for you is to help people inherit the desolate heritages." That where the cities have collapsed and their walls have been broken and their homes have been destroyed and have been inhabited only by wild animals, you will bring forth a restructuring, a new development, so much that people will be able to inhabit the place and they will bless the name of the Lord their God. And why would that happen? Because somebody allowed waters to flow from inside him because of his faith. And so we have been saying that faith is a force. It's not something that, you know, we just settle in and wish that all will be okay. No, we say if we take hold of life by faith, if we take hold of our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we will discover that a force will arise both from within us and from the Spirit of God, and we go out and force things to turn around. Now, when we are saying that Nigeria can be a good country, that your life can be a good life, that God has made you a successful person, that we are not speaking according to that which we have seen in the past, physically speaking now, but we are speaking according to that which is recorded in heaven. And we know if we agree with that which is recorded in heaven, it will most certainly take effect on the earth. Let me establish something to us again. The mistake human beings make when they don't have spiritual understanding is that they think that what will be tomorrow is decided by that which was yesterday. Therefore, a man says, "How do I plan for my children? How do I ensure that my children will have a good tomorrow?" They say, "Let us look around for societies that right now they look like they have an established plan for children." Do you get what I'm trying to say? So we go there and we go and say, "Okay, here, at least we can save up money and then we'll have a college fund for our children. We invest it and then one day they will be able to go to school." Now, listen to me, it does not work like that. Do you understand my point? What you don't understand is that all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. He said, "The grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of God blows upon it." Listen, there is no nation on the earth that can guarantee you anything over the next many years. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. That when we talk about external reserve, external reserve, external reserve, most of the world's external reserve resides in America. It's interesting. When you hear that China has about $1 trillion in external reserves, I laugh. Because most of that is invested in America. What does that tell you? If America collapses tomorrow, all the external reserve of China drops also. When I was watching the thing and business report was being read, I looked and said, "My God, this life, only a fool will not believe in God. Only a fool will put his security in material things." Do you get my point? I mean, there was a time that Germany was such a prosperous nation, then he decided to go to war. They were prospering so much because they were investing so much effort into building their war machine. People didn't understand. Then the Allied forces came and crumbled the whole of Germany. They did another thing. Their whole economy collapsed. Do you get my point? But then some men became multi-millionaires. That's something I want you to understand. You know how? One man looked and said, this nation is down today. It can be up tomorrow. So he went into the collapsed stock market and began to buy formerly expensive stocks for pennies. He had vision. He lost on at least 90% of the deals. But for the 3 to 10% he made money on, he increased his money more than 10,000-fold. Over just a few decades. Because he had vision. I'm trying to bring out something. What is big today can be down tomorrow. Year of external reserve, the interesting part is that physically, human beings store their reserves on the earth. And Jesus said, as a matter of divine truth, moth doth destroy and thieves do break in and steal. You can't do anything about it. You cannot store enough on the earth to protect tomorrow. It is impossible. You cannot store enough on this earth to protect tomorrow. It doesn't happen. That was why Jesus told his disciples, he said, sell what you possess and give to the poor or give to charity. He said, by doing so, you are providing for yourself purses and handbags that do not grow old, an unfailing and inexhaustible treasure in the heavens, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. Now, please, you must understand what Jesus was saying is that there is nothing you put on the earth hidden somewhere that guarantees tomorrow. None. People steal money and go and hide in foreign countries. Listen. There are different ways by which God can dispossess them. Are you getting my point? It was said most of the Jews that were they were the controllers of the European economy. They had a lot of money. A lot of their money was stored in Switzerland. Do you get what I'm saying? In Swiss banks. But of course, by the time Hitler collected everybody, there was no way to go to the Swiss banks anymore. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm trying to bring out the principle here that Jesus said it simply. He said, lay up your treasure in heaven, not on the earth. Because that is the only place where thieves can't break in and steal. And that is a place where moths cannot destroy. Please, what am I trying to explain? That by faith we understand this principle. That what tomorrow will be like is not decided by what yesterday was like. And when we are talking about faith, we are using the power of God to create a good tomorrow. Do you get my point? We are not deceiving ourselves. I explained something the other time that Karl Marx, not understanding this principle, said that religion is the opium of the masses. But that was not what Jesus taught. What Jesus taught us is that if you have faith in me, I will put a spirit inside you. Do you get my point? That's what we call the drinking of the heavenly water. And then that one will stimulate strength inside your soul. And then you will get up because, you see, what controls events around is the power inside people. Now, I don't mean inside your arms. I mean inside your soul. Do you get my point? That's why you find a man is very wealthy. Do you follow me? And then he dies. The company goes down. Now, people don't understand. It's because of his managerial skill. Well, that is true. That is true. But that is the physical manifestation of a divine power. The truth is that there is a strength in his soul with which he's maintaining what is around. Listen, it's not managerial skill. There are things that are inside somebody. When a man is going to be blessed, I said it before, you know, some of his mistakes turn out to be blessing. We write them in books and we think he planned them. You know, it was a mistake. He did not know what to do. Out of not knowing what to do, he sat down and did nothing. And one or two accidents happened. And suddenly things turned around. I read a story the other time, reading about Donald Trump, the so-called King of Manhattan, that is a real estate developer in New York. He wrote as a testimony himself, though he's not a believer, but he made it clear for people to get this point. I want all of us to learn from it. He said things changed. The laws in the nations changed. Events around change, that was what helped him survive depression, and he came back on top as a billionaire. It was not his skill. He said the only thing he did was that he made sure that he survived. So what did he learn? Survival tactics. That is simply, this is a rough time, there is nothing I can do. He went to his bankers and said, guys, I am dead. There is nothing I can do. How do we rearrange all these $4 billion I'm owing you people? But eventually things turned around because all his money is locked in real estate. Do you understand my point? Is the value of those buildings. For some people, it was because, for people like him, maybe because the Asians prospered, they came to New York to buy and prices went up. What I'm trying to make in all of this is simple. That no human being can accurately, because of natural things, predict what tomorrow will be like. You have given birth to all your children abroad and you think that will guarantee them a destiny, you have just deceived them. You have. What am I explaining? That's what Jesus came to teach. That was what Jesus came to introduce us to. That there is a power of life in which we lay our treasure in heaven. We lay it with faith in God. Mike Murdock, I was listening to him the other day. He said something that was very, very true. Deep divine truth. He said there was a time, and that's what some of the people don't understand. They say, give and you will get. And they misunderstand the principle behind giving. Now, what was that happened? He began to prosper. All right? And he wanted to start making investments so as to secure tomorrow. Lay up money so that he will never be poor again and all of that. And then one day, God commanded him by many methods. The Spirit of God told him, go and give out all this money as offering. Ah, and he looked and said, what? He said, it is for my tomorrow. God said, once you build up physical security, you become insecure as far as I am concerned. That is for him. The giving out of the money he had laid up was faith in God to show that his security is in God. A lot of people now say that, okay, go and give out money so you can get more. It doesn't work. It is a selfish motive. I say to Christians all the time, you cannot give to God because you want to get from him. He's not stupid. If you are a human being, at least you know that, don't you? If somebody is giving you and you are aware, it's because he wants to borrow from you. I mean, if a man is begging for a contract in your office and suddenly it's your birthday and he gives you a big gift, you know why he's giving you a big gift. There's a contract paper on your table. You can't appreciate it. And the Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. You can't mock God. What am I trying to say? When we give and it is not out of faith, we're actually fooling ourselves. People say that's how you get from God. I say it's not true. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. He said, ask and you shall receive and your joy will be full. But Jesus told the disciples, interestingly enough, what we read from that Luke chapter 12, he wasn't teaching them how to get. He was telling them security is not in material things. He says, sell what you possess and give to the poor. He said, that way you will have treasure in heaven. And the way Amplified described the word treasure in heaven, he said it's unfailing and inexhaustible. That is, anything that's in the heavens, it is not kept in America, it is not kept in Europe, it's not in the Swiss bank, it's not foreign reserve planted in the United States. No. He said it is our foreign reserve in heaven. That is the only place where we have security. What I'm trying to say is faith. Do you follow my point? It's only faith that gives you security for tomorrow, not material possession. And what am I saying again? That faith is actually a force. It grips things by force. It was the reason why Job could not die. Because, you see, we look at things, some that we don't understand. Now we are able to read the story of what transpired between Satan and God concerning the life of Job in heaven. But if you look at it from another angle, even again, spiritually now, God has reasons for doing things. He told Satan, you can afflict his flesh. There was a reason for that. He said, but one thing you can't do is that you can't kill him. Why? Because treasure in heaven preserves the life of people on the earth. It does. This is exactly what Jesus was saying about the rich fool. That man died suddenly one night because he did not have treasure in heaven. Because he said it in verse 21. It says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he had just described a man who died suddenly thinking that he had tomorrow secure. You are getting the point I'm making. That no, tomorrow is not secured by physical things. It's secured by faith. That even though I lose the things that are temporal now, I know that my treasure is with God in heaven. So when Satan wanted to kill Job, God said, no, you can't kill him. His treasure in heaven is preserving his life. And the second thing he does for him is to give him treasure on the earth. It was again the reason why God multiplied everything back to him double, even though he temporarily lost everything. Are you getting my point? So I'm saying faith is a force. It actually brings forth serious results into our lives if we hold on to God. And it is what we have believed that we will experience. If we say that, look, because the country was bad before, it will continue to be bad. You will discover that even if the country was to turn around, you who said you continue to be bad will remain in a bad state. I told the story of a man, I've forgotten his name temporarily. The man who made so much money, became very wealthy from investing in Germany after the Second World War. It was because he believed that this country will grow up again. So when things turned around, because he had faith that they would, he was there on top. But those who said nothing will happen, that was it. They remained down perpetually. I hope you're getting the point I'm going to make. Faith is what preserves tomorrow for you. It's a force. It brings life, all right, into the situation that we thought that death should be in. And therefore, I mean, listen, your child has dual citizenship or you have dual citizenship. There are poor people all over the world. I mean, you get to America, they will live on the streets. I remember those days, after my youth service, when I went to Lagos. And maybe I'll travel down to other places for things. Then people will tell me, maybe I go down to people and I say, hey, Lagos man, Lagos, there's plenty of money in Lagos. I used to wonder, that is it that these people don't come to Lagos and they don't see? Because Lagos is a place where I will see well-dressed gentlemen. Their shirt looking expensive. I remember this particular day in which a man, I went out because I went to go and do some issues in Lagos then. I had left Lagos by this time. I was coming back very late. And as I was entering into the place where I was, there is a hospital premises, the teaching hospital, I saw a man leaning beside a car. And obviously the car was his own. He looked comfortable. He was a man. I still remember the kind of shirt he was wearing. And he was just leaning. And he wasn't leaning. He was looking okay. So I stopped to give him directions. And he said, sir, please, anything you can help me with. So at least tomorrow my children can eat and go to school. I was used to Lagos-style begging. But this one was a different one. I looked at the man. This was like 11:30 p.m. I dipped my hand in my pocket. What I had there, I gave. Now, I'm used to people who use all kinds of styles to beg. But this one, I said, even if this man is lying, I don't have the guts to claim he's lying. Now, I'm going to bring out something. I used to see a lot of those things in Lagos. I will pass by, I see people sleeping under the bridge, literally. People going through refuse, you know, trying to get stuff to eat. I used to see it. And people would tell me, oh, Lagos man, plenty of money in Lagos. I hope you brought money. I say, which Lagos? Now, what I'm trying to bring out is this. You may say, I chose to see the negative side. No, I chose to see both sides. I saw the finest cars in Lagos. I saw the finest houses there. But I also understood that the poorest people are also there. I saw people who wouldn't leave Lagos for anything, but they were not making money in Lagos, but they just believed that this is where action is. Are you getting my point? And I saw people who left Lagos, and wherever they went, from there, they became so rich, they were buying property in Lagos. And they were still in the country. So I learned long ago that there's no prosperity stock to any place. Are you getting my point? I understood that if God blesses you anywhere you go, you will be blessed. Now I'm trying to bring out a principle here. That taught me, I've seen things. I've seen rich people in big towns. I found out that white people in America beg. Go to junctions and you see white people begging. That is, there's no security. There's none anywhere. The only place you a man has security is in God. Then if he's in America, he'll be blessed. If he's in Lagos, he'll be blessed. If he's in Enugu, he'll be blessed. If he's in Abakaliki, he'll be blessed. Wherever he will be, he'll be blessed. And people who don't understand God will misinterpret his geography as the reason for his blessedness. Are you getting the point I'm making here? I had a discussion with my mom some time ago. I said, why do people want to kill themselves going to America? He said, it's because of the way those who come from there spend money. I said, analyzing. I said, how many people do you know that spend money from there? She mentioned one name. I said, what about this other guy? He said, that was then. I said, what happened? He's in jail now. I said, you see, he spent money. Now the young boy's in jail. Then I began to mention people, my friends and neighbors. I said, okay, the other guy built a house for his father because he's in America. I said, what about this one? He built his own within Nigeria here. That one works. He works in Abuja, works in Lagos. He works in different parts of this town. He works in a particular company. Then I mentioned another name. I said, listen, there is nobody on earth. There's no place on earth from which a man cannot be blessed. You just chose to see the one you want to see. If you decide that it's only Americans that are blessed, you will see it. The other day I was reading stories about Vietnamese. And they say one woman in Vietnam decided to buy a highly customized Rolls Royce. Paid about $1.5 million for it. What was our reason? To show the rest of the world that we Vietnamese are also rich. No, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, I'm saying all of this to let you know. There is no security anywhere and there is no way that there's no prosperity. But that faith, the Bible says, by faith, a man acquires life even though he might appear to be in the center of difficult situations. That by faith, a man acquires breakthrough, even though they say this is a place where all we have seen in previous times is breakdown. Let me explain to you, creation still goes on. God can rearrange oil reserves to please one man. And that's a matter of fact. That is a matter of fact. Listen to me, God changes the laws of nations to satisfy his people. Again, that is a matter of fact, and I'm not joking about it. Listen. By faith, we create a good tomorrow. What is faith? Let me end today by defining what faith is. The Bible says that by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Now, from there, I want to tell you what faith is. Faith means that I have come to understand that God indeed is in control. That's the summary of it. Faith is that I have committed the control of my life, because that's one other side. Faith is that I have committed the control of my life to this God. Faith means that I have decided to obey Him first before I look at the things that are around me. That if God says something is bad, it's bad. No matter what it feels like, it's bad. If God says something is good, it is good. No matter what it feels like, it is good. For example, I've learned since I was young that it's good to give. But it was later on I realized it's actually not good to the flesh, because that's why children don't like to give. It's a matter of fact. The natural thing is I want to withhold that which I have. Then God said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we only use that sometimes as Christians when we go to church. But it's not only that. It means that if I have to pick a job, God says the first criterion in my mind should be, where can I give, not where can I get. Are you getting my point? Do I rush to a place where I don't have skill? I don't have the skill. I don't know what they are doing. I just know they have money. That is, I would rather get than give. Jesus said that is not right. That it is better to first think about, where can I give? I remember when I finished my postgraduate training then, people said, where would you like to work? I said, I like to teach. I know how to teach. I want to go to a place where I can teach. He said, but those people but university don't pay too much money. I said, but that is one place where I know I'm perfectly fitted. Once I enter into class, it's inside my soul. I don't have to try. It's a natural gift to me. Faith means I realize that whatever Jesus said is correct. So he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want to go to America? What do you want to go and give them? I'm not saying it's wrong. I was talking about a minister the other day. He has ministered for a long time in Nigeria. Then he told me, I knew he had now relocated to the UK. So if you don't understand, if you don't know him personally, you will think that he too has gone to go and enjoy life. But actually, that has become a base for him to bless the whole of South America. So it goes from Venezuela to Bolivia to Peru to Brazil to Uruguay, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching them the word of God, not just shouting and preaching and laying hands on the sick, but teaching the fundamental principles. I asked him, I said, sir, what do you teach in Europe? What do you teach in these places? He said, you'll be amazed what they don't know anymore. Do you get the point? That this is what I can give, I'm running after, not that which I can receive. I hope you are getting the point I'm making all these things that I'm saying. So by faith, I understand that whatever Jesus says, whatever he says is the truth. Whatever he says is real life. Even though what I'm seeing around appears contrary, no, what the Lord has said is the truth, and that is the one that I will hold on to. I hope you are getting the point that I'm making. That is what faith is. And Jesus says something. Let's quickly read from the book of Mark chapter 11. Now, the preceding incidents to this verse of scripture I want to read is the story we all know when Jesus cursed a fig tree that he wanted to take fruit from and there was no fruit on it. And then after that, the tree, the Bible says, withered from the roots. If you read in verse 20, and as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Now my emphasis is verse 24. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Now, we'll read more about this another time, but I want to bring out something about that verse 24. And before I do that, I would like to read another verse of the scriptures, and that will really help me to explain my point properly. And that's in the book of Mark chapter 9. Now, the one I want to read again here, a man wanted healing for his child, and the disciples of Jesus had not been able to help him, so he now talked to the Lord. And he said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's Mark chapter 9. But verse 23 is where I want us to note. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want us to look at these two scriptures. The book of Mark chapter 9 verse 23, and that's Mark chapter 11 verse 24. Now, what I want to bring out from there is the issue that Jesus was putting believing as a condition. He said, I say to you, all things for which you ask and pray, believe that you have received them, and it shall be granted. Now, what we understand is the fact that we think that what Jesus was saying is that we should get up and believe. Yes, that is true. But actually, Jesus was giving believing as a condition. Now, adding that one to what we read in Mark chapter 9, verse 23 just now, you will see what Jesus was saying is that if you can believe, actually what Jesus said in that Mark chapter 11, he was giving believing as a condition. That's why he said, therefore I say unto you, if anyone says to this mountain, be taken up and all of that, and does not doubt but believes, that is, the ability to believe is what Jesus was focusing on. He now said, therefore, if you can believe that you have received, and bring that an issue. Jesus told that man, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one that believes. I'm focusing on the ability to believe. That's actually why I'm reading all of these scriptures. I want us to understand something about faith. Because sometimes you ask people to have faith, and within them, they cannot find the ability. They cannot find the cause. They try, but it appears like it just eludes them. And that's what I want to begin discussing, beginning from next time. And before I leave, I would just like to recommend, I discuss that in detail. In fact, the whole book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, is on that issue, on the ability to believe. How do I develop the ability to believe? Do I just wake up in the morning and believe? Because if it was like that, because I remember one day, I first heard about this when I was a child, I was in secondary school. I was in boarding house, and one of my seniors was saying something one day. I remember he tossed the bunk. He said, if you have faith and you believe that this bunk will leave here and go there, do you know the bunk we actually get up? That's the double bunk bed. We get up and go. I said, without my touching it, he said, yes. There's a matter of believing. That if you can, he said, if it's just believe. So I remember several times I tried, like, okay, how can a man believe and take the bunk to move? The guy telling me actually had never done it. I don't really even think he even understood what he was saying. But the point I'm making is this. The issue is that can we believe? And I want you to understand, which is why I taught in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. There is a spiritual procedure for coming to the place where your faith is strong, so that you will be able to speak boldly concerning tomorrow. You'll be able to speak boldly concerning what God is going to do in your life. It's not just a matter of imitating people, but having the real faith inside your heart. I hope you got my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.